I'm good. Hi, Stephen. Nice to be here.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Tell us a little bit about Klarna Bank. I know when we say Klarna Bank, we think of a traditional bank, but I have a feeling Klarna is not your traditional bank.
Klarna is a Swedish bank and a fintech company. It provides the global payment services across 45 countries. And I work at Klarna as a legal counsel, but my work is at the intersection of technology, law, policy, ethics. It's been several years since I joined Klarna.
Oh, that's great. Perfect. So managing legal counsel, but you work with technology. So what came first, the technology or the legal?
So I have actually a background in international human rights law. I used to work as a human rights lawyer. I worked at the United Nations. I set up my own NGO in UK. I'm a former human rights lawyer. But then my interests, professional interests, shifted more and more towards technology and digitalization. I worked at a Swedish legal tech company for several years, and then I moved towards fintech and finance. So I would say it's law, but then now I continue with technology and also policy.
So you kind of get the best of both worlds, I guess you could say that you have the law, you have the technology, and each of them make each other a little bit more exciting, doesn't
Exactly.
it?
And it's possible to create more impact. And my focus right now is responsible use of technology. And I talk about digital rights and ethics within technology also.
Ethics within technology. I think that's something that a lot of us are trying to grapple with ourselves about, what is safe, what is ethical, what is, the proper way to use some of this technology that we're seeing these days. Then you have certain regulatory frameworks like the EU AI Act. Can you tell us a little bit more about what that is?
Finally, on December 9th last year, the European Parliament and the Council, they reached a provisional agreement on the EU AI Act. It's a milestone in global AI regulation. Once it's formally adopted in the coming months, I think before summer, the EU Act is going to become the first ever comprehensive law setting out unified rules on artificial intelligence. And once it's voted, it's going to become binding on all EU member states, but it will also impact providers and users of AI systems in other countries, so it will have a global impact. It's quite groundbreaking because with the EU AI Act, EU is now leading the world in establishing robust regulations for AI. And it's guiding its development in a more human-centric direction. But also, within the EU AI Act, there is something called an innovation package, which is shielding small and medium-sized enterprises. So the aim is to strengthen EU's capacity for innovation within AI and safeguarding vulnerable sectors of the EU economy. So it's an impressive contribution.
That's great. And I mean, it seems like there's a lot of consideration that would go into creating a regulatory framework for AI. So I from the outside looking in, it seems like you would have to worry about the people that are developing and implementing the AI, the people that are using the AI, and also just ethical AI implications itself. Just how is it being applied to different things? What are some of the considerations that the average person may not know about when it comes to ethical considerations of AI?
I mean, the EU AI Act, I can start with that. So it's creating the structure is risk-based. There are within the Act, the legislators kind of identified risk areas within AI that are unacceptable. So those are prohibited use cases of AI, for example, like emotion recognition in the workplace and educational institutions, or social scoring based on behavior or personal characteristics, real-time biometric identification. These are unacceptable. These pose unacceptable risk to individuals and society and democracy, so they are banned. But then for AI systems that are high risk due to their potential harm on health, safety, rights, environment, there are clear obligations. But then most AI use cases are considered low risk, and the obligations are not that extensive. And the main obligation is transparency. But I mean, ethics plays a pivotal role. In the realm of technology in general, but especially in the field of AI, because the legal framework is still catching up, and the stakes are particularly high in AI development, deployment, and usage, because it poses unique and unprecedented risks, and the unintended consequences are more probable. It's less foreseeable, basically. So these elements make ethical considerations paramount. So even though there are laws, security standards, regulations, we still need to have ethics considerations also. But it's not only about risks. Like, we should all remain curious and optimistic about the incredible progress AI is bringing about, from revolutionizing financial sector, from all kinds of discoveries in science, drug discoveries, to personalizing everything, like healthcare, education, manufacturing. So, like, we should be excited, but the excitement must be kind of tempered with an awareness of ethical responsibilities, in my opinion. In the short term, these threats concern our rights and freedoms and human dignity, but in the long term, we also discuss quite widely a potential existential threat to humanity. Like, more talked about risks are how AI has a huge capacity to amplify existing biases, contribute to systemic discrimination, reinforcing harmful stereotypes, like generally aggravating like societal inequalities. Privacy infringements is also quite widely discussed. That's another critical risk area. But then there are also like lesser discussed risks, for example, like over-reliance on AI leading to like decline in human capabilities, like including our cognitive capabilities, or like unjust job transitions, occupational transitions, or, you know, over-optimization, like manipulation of individuals, kind of eradicating free will of humans, basically, or the psychological impact of ambiguous human-AI interactions. Like, these type of risks, like, they pose challenges to individuals, humanity, but I think they also carry like substantial costs and risk for companies in terms of their operations, security, products, like brand, public trust. So it's ethics provides like a means to like maximize the benefits but mitigate the risks. And it's important to develop and use AI in a human-centric way that will serve the common good and enhance our rights and freedoms. And as I said, so laws are not always up to date or not even suitable to address these type of ethical concerns. What the EU AI Act is based on, and what the European Commission already, like in 2018, they have established a high-level expert group on AI, and they published guidelines on trustworthy AI. And in that also, there are certain ethical principles that can guide us towards a more human-centric development of AI. And I can mention those briefly. The first principle is human autonomy, respecting human autonomy, which means designing AI systems that enhance human freedoms and also augment human abilities, avoiding coercion, manipulation. The second is prioritizing, like the prevention of harm in connection to AI, which involves safeguarding human dignity, protecting mental and physical integrity, and very importantly, like addressing needs of vulnerable individuals and taking into consideration power imbalances, like for example, between employers and employees or businesses and consumers. A third principle would be fairness, which is which underscores the importance of equal distribution of benefits from AI. It's in connection to freedom from bias and discrimination. And finally, explicability is an important principle for ethical AI, which demands clear communication of AI capabilities and limitations in the decision processes so that users, human users, can contest decisions, even in cases of like black box algorithms. So for AI systems to be trustworthy, it's not only the lawfulness, but also the ethical principles that needs to be adhered. And it's not just a moral imperative, but it's also essential really to realize like social and economic benefits basically. So these principles can provide a compass basically.
Well, I mean, it seems like, first of all, that was a lot to unpack, and you really did a great job of explaining all the things to consider when it comes to the AI principles. And I'm over here thinking, like, does the EU AI Act actually cover all of these considerations that you just mentioned? I mean, the bias, the systemic discrimination, human decline, like, are all of these things actually covered in that act, or is it more the four principles?
No, so these are the principles, but from these principles, there are more specific requirements from like human oversight to data governance, transparency, privacy. So from like environmental protection. So all these are covered within the EU Act, but as I said, it's risk-based. So if some of these risks that I mentioned are considered like unacceptable, it would be like destructive for both individuals and society and democracy and rule of law. So if those are the risks, then the legislators decided on a category of AI use cases that are prohibited. But then the high-risk AI use cases need to comply with more stringent obligations, basically. But as I said, so most, according to the AI Act, most use cases are not in the high-risk category. But the ethical considerations should still apply to low risk use cases also. These principles are the basis for the EU AI Act.
That makes total sense. And do you believe that as AI develops and matures and becomes a lot more integrated in everything that we do, do you think that it becomes a higher risk or a lower risk as, you know, it becomes as fully matured as it can get?
Yeah, I mean, as I said, I am looking forward to the progress we are going to go through, especially like scientific and healthcare related and in the financial sector. But and I kind of think in terms of like the benefits and the risks of like more short-term and long-term, basically. So I do see a potential of AI systems at one point, like surpassing human intelligence, or a different kind of intelligence or cognitive abilities to emerge. And that is what is seen as like an existential threat to humanity in the future. But I see a short window for humanity, actually, where artificial intelligence can catalyze a transformation in our own evolution, in a way. So I don't see AI as a threat, but it can actually propel us towards a what I call is a moral leap in our own evolutionary journey, because it's really shifting the power balances. So for a long time, we have been the most intelligent and dominant beings on the planet, potentially in the universe. But now there is potential of a higher intelligence. So what I think is that the existential risk that we're thinking about is in relation to AI is not in the sense that, oh, AI will destroy us all, but it's more so in terms of our relevance to exist, because like in our evolution, if I can explain a little bit, like in our, as part of our evolution, like our brain structure, our neural networks got so complex that human intelligence, which is a unique type of intelligence, has emerged. It's unique in the sense that it can explain the universe and it can create knowledge, like, as opposed to other beings, other biological beings. They carry and transfer existing information through their genes, which we do also. But on top of that, our brains can explain and create new knowledge. That's what's unique to us. In a way, we are universe explaining itself. To me, this is the meaning of human life and why we are relevant in the universe. But now, and this is what gave us dominance over other beings and on this planet, which actually means that we so far managed to survive thanks to this dominance, being intellectually superior, without really fully completing any sort of like moral development. We don't apply the same standards to all other beings. We simply rely on dominance and power structures, right? And like now that we're entering the age of AI, technology is still a tool. It's reflecting our intentions, but we must really like harness the potential of AI and other technologies to enhance our human experience and like bridging divides, uplifting the underprivileged, addressing long-term challenges, basically like making a moral leap, because our survival and future relevance will depend on it. Because once there is a superior intelligence, then our intelligence, that's what it's going to mimic. This is basically, I believe our survival now hinges on making an ethical commitment to crafting advanced moral codes so that this superior intelligence can also apply more consistently and not based on who is more intelligent, because then that's not going to be us.
I mean, it totally makes sense. I mean, definitely when you're dealing with something more intelligent than you, the best thing you can do is just make sure that you and it are operating within the ethical considerations, ethical guidelines. You know, otherwise you're a little bit out of control there. You're a little bit at the mercy of this other intelligence, which if you didn't program the ethics into it, then
kind of at their mercy. A bit like, oh, like science fiction-y, but I mean, it has practical implications. Like, I don't just mean that, oh, this future scenario where like AI will take over, but like it's really like we have a short window now to shape the future moral code also. And to achieve this, like, we can really, like, I see the significance of integrating ethics, morality, human rights into the very design of AI. So if we now make the ethical choices at every stage of development, deployment, use of AI, we can really, like, ensure that AI in the future can embody a more advanced moral code, basically.
For sure. And as we're talking about, you know, having something that's more capable than we are, especially intelligently, I think that every time that there's a technological wave come through, there's always consideration of, well, what about the people? What use do the people have if now there's machines that are stronger than us, there's machines that are faster than us, there are computers that can calculate faster than us, and now there's technology that is actually smarter than us? What does that mean for the people? What are we supposed to do? How do we add value, let's say, in the job market whenever there's, you know, all of these technologies that seem to make people, you know, less needed?
Yeah. I mean, yes, like, we are now seeing incredible efficiencies, AI-driven efficiencies, and also like, incredible need to reskill and upskill and update our roles and competences, basically. But to me, it's like, it's crucial to recognize that the role of AI is more about augmenting our abilities. And in relation to the workforce, like, augmenting certain job functions rather than replacing humans. Like, currently, that's what's going to happen. Like, we should see the automation of routine, repetitive tasks, even some cognitive tasks, as a positive development, because it will enable us to, it is enabling us to redirect our focus towards more complex and strategic aspects of our work. To me, like, this type of shift has the potential to enhance our productivity, efficiency, innovation, even, like, motivation. It really motivates me that I can assign repetitive, tedious tasks to tools, basically.
For sure. And I think that we've seen this happen over and over again, right? We've seen, you know, machinery. Oh, how are we going to ever keep our jobs with this machinery? And somehow humans were able to use machines to be able to produce more. Same thing with computers. I mean, whenever I was in school, I'm going to age myself a little bit, but we didn't have a computer at our desk all day, every day. It was something that some of us had one at home, some of us didn't have one at home. And I remember having a computer without internet. That was because internet was not really a household thing at the time. And now, if internet is not on my phone, if internet is not on my computer, I physically cannot do my job. So not only have I created a career based on being able to use a computer that has access to internet, but literally I cannot do my job if my computer does not have access to internet. So I see the same thing with AI. It's just going to be another tool that we're able to use. It's going to help us be able to do things faster, smarter. If you can ask ChatGPT to give you 5 names for this show that you're organizing, then it'll do that. And if you say, okay, let's try 50, it'll give you 50 names. And that'll take you, you know, probably an hour to sit there and try to come up with 50 names by yourself. But, you know, a lot of times, it just doesn't need to be that way. It's things that you would have come up with yourself, but if you can just get it done faster, then, you know, why not, right?
Yeah, exactly. And so it's not like a scary scenario. It's not like AI against humans or AI taking over our jobs, but it's more like AI and humans, or humans using AI versus just humans, basically. So the winning strategy is that we are augmenting our decision-making capacities, we're enhancing our skills, including, like, cognitive skills through AI. But there is also, like, a risk of perhaps, like, but at an individual level and organizational level, like, risk of over-reliance on AI that can lead to, like, deterioration of our cognitive skills, and it can cause like lead to errors and inaccuracies or low quality. So that's one risk. I like what Harvard Business School professor Karim Lakhani said. He said, much like the internet reduced the cost of information transmission, AI is lowering the cost of cognition, which is a good way of putting it. but to me, there's a caveat to it. Like, yes, it is lowering the cost of cognition, but like reduction in the cost of cognition, unlike information transmission, comes with hidden costs for both individuals and organizations. I think like if we do not respect like human autonomy, if organizations don't implement strategies to prevent over-reliance on AI systems, if they don't invest in reskilling and upskilling their employees, considering a more like cost-benefit framework, as I said, it does lead to like errors and inaccuracies and low quality. So that should be like investing in enhancing and augmenting human capabilities should be like in balance with like the investment in AI and automation and occupational shift, basically. And it's also a more fair and just way of doing. So there will be, I mean, organizations need to adapt to the age of AI and all the changes very quickly, yes, but the quick, rapid change comes with responsibilities also. Like hastily, like, you know, deeming employees like irrelevant or underskilled, it's wasteful for organizations and damaging for individuals. Really like important to align the pace of automation and occupational shift with the pace of reskilling.
Do you believe that there's any specific industries or sectors that AI should just not be a part of, like maybe healthcare, like the actual like surgery operations, maybe, you know, teaching, such as you know, do we need teachers? Do we need doctors? Are there certain things that just, okay, AI helps in a lot of things, but let's just leave it out of this one?
No, there are no specific like industries or sectors. There are more like specific use cases, I think. We should focus on like preventing harm at an individual and societal level. So, and as I said, it's about fairness and really like human autonomy. We still want to be able to make our own decisions and have free will. We don't want AI systems to be used in a coercive or manipulative way. So it's really not industry based, but more like use case based, in my opinion. As long as it's used to increase like efficiencies, but with a balancing exercise of, okay, so the benefit of increasing efficiency versus cost to individuals, to the employees or consumers or society. If that balance is achieved, I think every industry can benefit from the advancements of AI.
Great. And do you believe that the AI should be open to everybody? Do you think everybody should have access to use AI? I can kind of tell you the reason why I'm asking is because we see a lot of these movies where there's somebody that invents a really, really great technology, and then it doesn't take a long time before you realize, okay, well, this thing has actual, you know, military applications, or if this ends up in the hands of the wrong person, then we're all in trouble. Do you think that maybe AI should be something that is only able to be produced and implemented at a certain level, or do you believe that this is something that everybody should be able to kind of have an open market on?
I don't think it's possible to limit it. I think it is available to everyone.
It's already out.
Exactly, and that is the risk. Like the comparison to, for example, like nuclear weapons or nuclear risks, this is not adequate because I mean, not everyone has access to uranium, but everyone has access. I mean, when we say AI, it's the field of computer science, like AI, generative AI. Like, we all have access, and then it depends on our skills and competence. I mean, the same. So it's, no, I don't think limiting access to technology will save us from the potential.
from evil players, if you will.
Exactly, but then there are of course players that have more responsibility, like the developers of foundation models, for example. Like mm-hmm. they have higher responsibility, and like the both developers and deployers and users of general purpose AI, like we need specific obligations for use of those systems, but I don't think limiting access is possible or useful.
Fair. Well, that's great, and honestly, I think that this conversation has really given us a lot to think about. And I think that AI, it always feels a little bit elusive. I think to most of us, it feels mm-hmm. like we see an application for it every now and then we think, oh, that's cool, we can do that now. Okay, that's cool. It can create images. It can create music. It can reply back to me on ChatGPT. It can help me brainstorm when I just don't really have the bandwidth to brainstorm some things right now. But it's really important to think that if we're going to continue to move forward, which obviously there's no stopping it at this point, we're going to continue to move forward with AI, and it's going to be implemented at a bigger, stronger, and more widespread level, across all the different industries, globally. We need to consider the ethical considerations. We need to understand, what are the things that, we need to know. Right? So I think that this is really, really wide opening, and it's really exciting to see that the EU has come up with the EU AI Act that has put into these four principles. And is there anything else that you wanted to cover that you think that the audience should know about?
No, I mean, as you said, like, we are all contributing in building how we're all shaping the future of AI, basically. So we are all part of making a moral, ethical leap also within the realm of this technology. So I really think everyone should become engaged in ethics and to become and act as thought leaders, like within their respective roles in society, companies, institutions. So there is a collective responsibility that extends beyond individual domains. So it should be a shared commitment to develop AI ethically.
That's a great point. I mean, I think that sometimes we fail to even recognize our own ethical considerations, that we don't really reflect on what's right, what's not right, what's good, what's harmful, and what's just downright not right at all. We I think sometimes fail to think about those things because we might not have that big of an impact as individuals, right? We don't necessarily have the largest audience listening to everything that we say. Our actions don't exactly ring out effects and consequences for very many people around us. But whenever we're starting to implement something that has such a widespread effect on everything, it really gives us an opportunity to say, what are the things that we want to make sure stays in this world, and what are the things that we want to make sure that we can eliminate for something that's going to be such a robust part of our lives?
Exactly. Yeah, it can happen in isolation. We need a collaborative effort, more like engineers and policymakers and visionaries and decision makers, leaders should really unite and collaborate to establish new practices, more ethical, responsible practices of AI, which I consumers, users, society will reward basically with trust and loyalty.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Shebnam. I think that we've all learned a lot. It was exciting to have you on our podcast. I know that we saw you already at the Dubai Harbor alongside Expand North Star whenever you were on stage. That was very exciting. I'm glad that we had a little bit more of a personal one-on-one time with you for anybody that might have missed you.
Thank you so much. It was a pleasure.
Great. Well, I hope to see you next year as well. And we'll see you on stage as well. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks a lot, Shebnam. Well, you have a great night.
Thank you.